B-Pod Studios.
The Bruins are in action tonight on the Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand are on the Star Market Sports Deck at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Bruins are in action tonight on the Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand are on the Star Market Sports Deck at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So is Motley Crue popular again because of this book and documentary? Yep.
Well, I don't know if they're popular, but a lot of people were excited for this movie.
Song sucked the first time around.
Yeah. Look.
Now we're going to hear it.
I like the song.
We're not going to get into it right now.
I like the song.
Never cared anything about the band. Never liked any of the music. That book is unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I know you've said this. You've stated this a number of times.
So, and I understand people getting excited about the movie. I don't even think I'm going to watch it. Yeah. This looks like a mandatory. This looks mandatory. It looks like everybody's out there.
I got to stand up and look.
Yeah.
All right.
This is a heavily attended morning skate. Look at that.
A lot of guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
This is like when you go to the mall and take your kids to one of the malls that has the rinks.
Never been to one of those.
I know your kids aren't old enough yet, but you get out there and you're like, you know what? It's a little crowded. Let's wait.
Not my kids. I've never been to a mall with a hockey rink. I know they exist.
Oh, my God.
Because I remember this
one in Houston.
I remember this from the Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding days.
Yep.
Didn't one of them practice in a mall? Wasn't that one of them?
Probably. We have in Pittsburgh.
I feel like that was one of the things.
We have in Pittsburgh.
I don't think we have those here.
It's not a big thing here, huh?
Well, no.
Because it's a big hockey area and they have to
put rinks everywhere.
Rinks are like unique back in Pittsburgh.
Still,
believe it or not still. I'm sure they're popping up everywhere.
Based on the Pittsburgh Penguins,
yeah. Well, Lemieux's been able to do with the youth programs and all that. There, it's crazy. But back in the day, you're lucky to have a hockey rink. It was like that movie Ice Castles, where the only hockey rink you had was out there on 51 and had a big disco ball at it, and had a nice little concession stand, and you would do the skate, and they would put on the lights and be out there. Everybody be spinning.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
What's the name of that song they played? Ice Castles.
I don't know Ice Castles.
Oh, man.
Sorry. No help to you.
About Blades of Steel.
That's to let you know we're a warrior today. Bruins are having a skate. It does not look optional.
Nope.
Looks like a lot of guys are out there on the ice.
Stephon Gilmore tweeted this morning.
What'd he say?
That rule better go both ways. LOL.
Oh, boy.
Oh, he's right.
Ted is in the car. Ted.
How you doing, guys? I feel like this is a perfect example of the NFL creating another problem rather than fixing the problem that was there in the first place, which was the referee. The referee was 15 feet away from that play and didn't call it. I feel like they need to make these guys full-time employees. They need to train them. They need to get younger guys in there. That is the issue. The replay had nothing to do with the PI call. It was the referee not calling it on the field.
Well, the problem I have...
wrong on that, but...
Ted, I just think that the younger, better ref that you crave doesn't exist.
What is coaching and them being?
I don't think it exists.
No, but seriously, what is coaching and the referees?
What's full-time status for that guy going to change in terms of what he can see?
He's still going to crap his pants in a moment. He's going to be like, oh, my God, should I throw it or not throw it? My problem is there was a guy 8 yards away looking down from the offensive end staring right at it.
Yeah.
And the back judge was staring right at it from the defensive end. You had two guys in plain sight of it, and they both blew the call. Not one call, two calls.
Two guys.
There was targeting head-to-head defenseless receiver. The first one is PI, which is going to be reviewed. They could have thrown either one.
Sorry, I just don't think we've been saying this for years. Oh, you got to get younger. Well, you know what? I think for referees, I do like the refs. The head guy on the crew is a full-time employee.
I like the experience
because that guy should be so immersed in that rule book.
Yep.
And should know every detail in that rule book inside and out, and should be the guy that is helping others understand it and do a better job. So I like that at least somebody on the crew is a full-time guy. But what's going to be the difference if they're younger or full-time in that situation? You're always going to get mistakes. You're always going to get them. And that was just a bad one. I mean, how many bad, blatant missed ones have we had like that in the course of the season? Not a lot. It happens, and it's very noticeable when it happens in a conference title game.
Right.
Yeah.
And seemingly affects the outcome of the game, you know, in a very direct and obvious way.
That's the problem. If that's week two, they're not even addressing it. The fact it's an NFC title game, it's being addressed.
We'll talk to Brad Stevens coming up at 11:20. Howie's in the car today. Hi, Howie.
Hi, Howie.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. My point is, with Robert Kraft, he's got to fight this, and for reasons that were stated before my call, and that is he needs plausible deniability. So this gives Goodell a good reason to be able to let him off the hook. Remember, Goodell works for the owners. And by letting him off the hook, it opens up for him to not lose draft picks and to not lose what he's got in the way of a fine. You know what I mean?
I don't think he's going to lose any draft picks. I don't think that's either. On the table. No, I don't think if they were going to throw the book at him, so to speak, I think it's in the form of a fine and suspension. I don't think there's anything at risk that could negatively affect the team here. This is personal.
Right, I understand. But my other question would be, and I don't know, you know, I know it's a sensitive subject, but has anyone tried or contact or heard anything from his girlfriend about the subject?
No.
No one's ever heard from her ever. Has anyone ever heard of her?
I don't know who his girlfriend ever is. I don't care.
Ricky Lander.
Yeah, just in that one video that popped up years ago.
Yeah. Hey, you.
Yeah. Daryl. I think that's all we've ever heard from her.
They're still together. She has a kid, but it's not his kid.
Daryl.
Is that the one?
I think that's what we heard, right? I think that was the line. I think his name was Daryl.
I don't remember the line. It was so long ago.
Did they name it Daryl?
What?
His name is Daryl.
No, the other guy. The guy.
Oh, the one he knocked out.
Yeah.
What's the baby's name?
Apple.
Oh, you thought they named the baby Daryl?
My mother's name's Daryl. Stop it. My mother's name is Daryl.
Is that what Zoe's asking?
Hi, Mom. She's watching all the time. Daryl.
Can't be a lot
your
of babies.
Oh, Darryl, your mother's babies. Name's Daryl?
Mother's name's Daryl.
Oh, that's a beautiful, unique name. Thank I like you. That. Thanks. How does she spell it?
D-A-R-Y-L. Daryl Jean.
The way you spell Daryl.
Yep. How do you think
T-A-R-Y-L.
D-A-R-R-L.
Okay, Daryl. Okay,
Daryl.
D-A-R-Y-L. Oh.
What's your mother's name?
With a Donna, with a D.
Donna.
The way you spell Donna.
Nice lady, Donna.
D-O-N-N-A.
Donna.
My mom's name is Diane. What's yours, Hardy? Is it a D, too?
Lynn.
No.
L-Y-N. L-Y-N.
Lynn Halsey Taylor. It is cold here.
Mike's in Watertown. What's up, Mike?
Ooh, it's cold.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Hey, how are you doing?
I got as far as reviews of the plays to speed it up, I was thinking they could implement a 45 to 60 second clock, have three referees review it, and to have like two.
There's no problem with time.
Oh, no, that's a good idea.
Time issue.
Have three guys review it instead of one?
Games are still 3 hours. No matter what they do, rules they change, stuff they put in and out.
Three guys reviewing, and if the
time's not an issue here in the league,
the third guy is kind of there to say, all right, this is a call, and we go with it. And other than that, if that rule change sticks
Mike,
to the PI challenge.
Mike, you don't really think that's plausible, right?
No, I mean, it's the NFL. They wouldn't be able to figure it out. But
No. I'm telling you, you have three different people review the same thing, and then you take a vote on a three-member panel.
But you only have 45 seconds.
And you have 45 seconds to do it? That's just not realistic. No way. It's not realistic.
Why are you putting a clock on it? I mean, we all want it to be over with sooner, but the whole notion is to get it right.
Yeah.
And if, at 45 seconds, they haven't made a determination. They're like, ah, call stands.
I wish they would do it faster. But,
so do I.
But I also...
But putting them on a clock isn't going to...
Right.
What's wrong with the coach's proposal? Have the clear and obvious guy up in the booth. Just clear and obvious penalties that were missed.
Oh, you mean all 32 coaches?
Yeah, this
you
is
mean
a that one? Thing. We're going to get to this.
Yeah, we'll get to that later because, Jim, I don't know. I don't know what the reluctance is.
Do you know how hard it is to pass 32, though? I don't understand.
I don't. Neither do I.
Don't give me the little money sign because don't tell me it costs much.
Ben is in the car. Ben.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Good afternoon.
How are you?
My thoughts on this rule is I think it's pretty good, but I think they need to do one of two things, or both things, actually. One, only review under 2 minutes when it goes to booth review. Reviewing a pass interference with 10 minutes left in the first quarter isn't going to help anybody. And two, I don't think they can review this in slow motion. You got to review these pass interference calls in real time only. Otherwise, you're going to be calling everything because one finger grazed the face mask.
Well, I disagree because you still have your same challenges. You know what I mean? You still have your same amount of challenges. So say you come out to start a drive early in the game and there's a grotesque non-call that doesn't go your way. You throw the flag because you can get in rhythm on that first drive to take a 7-0 lead. And that changes the whole complexion.
I agree with him about real time. I think he's right about that.
About what?
Real time versus slow motion.
Yeah.
Slow motion is, oh, look, Stephon Gilmore's got him by the arm. And look, when in real time it was...
He's poking him in the rib right there.
Where was just this?
And so, go ask the receiver. It's like, did he punch you in the rib?
No. So the video the Beatle has that they released is in slow motion.
Slow motion.
You watch that New Orleans play in real time. It's like everybody's like, Jesus, he got there early. Holy crap.
Yes.
How did you miss this?
The obvious ones don't need super slow-mo.
Yes,
right.
That's a good point. The obvious ones don't need it slowed down.
I'd be fine with that.
The obvious ones, full speed. Full speed replay only on these calls. And I hope they hammer out that detail at some point.
And see what I know Gilmore tweeted out, better call both ways. Stephon Gilmore tweeted out just a little bit ago. And he's right.
And they won't.
But if you throw something, you think something's on Antonio Brown. If you see Antonio Brown,
do you think a coach? Do you think a coach on a play that isn't, you know, some ridiculous 80-yard touchdown or something is going to throw a flag because they feel their defender got interfered with? It just goes against the whole mentality of the game. Oh, quit your crying. Oh, your corner who's complaining about the receiver pushed me. No, the coaches are not going to be willing to do that if they have to use a challenge. Final 2 minutes might be a different story. We'll talk to the coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens, with us next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the home of the Bruins. The Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena from the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Final 15 seconds. Outlet pass picked off by Marcus Smart. A truly poetic way to end this one. Marcus Smart, brilliant on both ends of the floor in the second half as the Celtics, never easy, but they get it done and score a double-digit win tonight in Cleveland to snap the losing streak. The final score, Boston 116, Cleveland 106. The only thing better than this one would be talking about it with Bertrand and Zoe. Stand by.
Brandy promised that he would work us into a final call. And there it was.
Seamless,
yeah. Very natural. Fit right in.
Pathetic.
As everyone listening to the game thought.
Oh, pathetic because he said Bertrand first.
Yeah,
that's why Zoe didn't like it.
There's the reason.
Get the name right.
Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Welcoming in the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens, joins us. Hey, coach.
What's up, guys?
Hey, you probably thought the same thing there being brought in, right? After a game like that.
I have no idea what you were talking about. What were you guys talking about?
You missed Grandy's call there, Dean. He said the only way to recap this game any better is to talk about it with Bertrand and Zoe the next day.
Yeah.
And we played
it. Oh, really?
He came in.
And here you are.
Man, and there you are. Hey, that's congratulations.
Good. He's good at setting people up.
Yeah, he is. Congrats on getting a win. Talk about Jason Tatum a little bit. Guy gets 21 points in the first half. and sort of had a tough time finding some shots, or is that by design in the second half, and where he is as the playoffs start to approach you guys here?
Well, I thought they had they obviously guarded him even harder and more intently in the second half, but at the same time, I thought that he just didn't have as many opportunities. And, you know, it's one of those things where sometimes you can really get it going in a short stretch and put those up in a hurry. And he kept us afloat when we weren't guarding well at the end of the first. And then, you know, other people took advantage of a little bit less attention on them and more attention on him in the second. And so I was pleased with how we attacked for the most part offensively. We had bad stretches defensively, but we also had some of our better stretches defensively as of late. And I think, you know, obviously starting Baines and Allen, having those guys both healthy, even though they were both on minutes restrictions last night, which was kind of hard to manage, was a good thing for our defense.
We're talking with Brad Stevens, head coach of the Boston Celtics. Coach, I know you indicated in the last couple of days that you are always considering lineup changes, that you consider it all the time, every day, I think you said. And I'm just curious, as a coach, how much time do you spend thinking about stuff such as, you know, starting lineup? I know we've talked about it with you a bunch of different times, but
not earning it. Yeah.
Is that, you know, a daily activity for you to think about that?
I mean, yeah, I don't know how you all are, but when I wake up at night, I'm up. So it doesn't matter when I wake up. And that's usually dominating my thoughts about how we can best make this thing work. But it's at the end of the day, and I said this after the Houston game, the root of our issues are not necessarily who's playing when. It's how we're playing. And it's how connected we are going to be on both ends of the court to maximize each possession. And so, you know, obviously you can get little band-aids off changes like that, but I think we have to be more consistent as a group with whoever's out there, because any group that we have out there can find an offensive advantage and should be able to compete defensively. We just have to do it better. Now, I will say this, the lineup that I've wanted to have available for most of the better, you know, last half of the year has been the Baines and Al 4 and 5. And there will be teams that we start that against, and there will be teams that we don't because they're smaller and spread you out more. But those guys, you know, we've been our very best defensively with that lineup over the last 2 years. And I do think that this team, if we're going to have any chance of, making any noise, I think we're going to have to, you know, tighten up our defensive end.
All right, Coach, I know it's a long year, and I know the NBA is different from other sports, and the term load management, and I told our listeners going to ask you about it, kind of get an eye roll about it, and I know the rules have changed, and teams have rested guys before, but did you ever think taking the job into this next level that you're going to get to a point where we're just going to have to sit this guy and we're going to have to term it load management? And it's just,
I didn't even know. Is that what we termed it as?
Yeah, yes. It's load management. Yeah, like, it started with LeBron, like with groin load management. You know, Anthony Davis at one point got taken out of a fourth quarter.
It feels
in a tie game because of load management.
Is that the new term for getting guys rest because of the new rest rules?
Yeah, I think it's the scientific term for rest. I don't know. It's the bottom line is that we have all these sports science now and all this and all, you know, and all the different advancements in sports medicine. And I do think that when guys are fresh, after they're able to, you know, get rest, you know, get off their legs, as we monitor every single thing they do, from every shoot around to every individual shooting session to every practice to every game, and we try to quantify that over the course of the year with who needs a break, who doesn't, who needs, you know, over these last 7 games to play a few less minutes, who needs to play a few more minutes, who needs to go hard today in small group work, who doesn't need to go at all. Like, everything is individualized because of the length of the season and because of the 82 games. When Kyrie plays, Kyrie exerts a ton of energy because he draws so much attention and he's got the ball a lot. And so it's important for us to have our best chance at having, a healthy, full-go Kyrie heading into the playoffs, that we manage that all appropriately. I think that it's really, really good to do, and but I don't know why the terms are what they are.
Did you dodge a bullet with Aaron Baines' injury? It felt and sounded a lot more severe a week ago than it does now.
I mean, well, first of all, we were playing great in that Philly game, and then we lose Baines and Smart. And obviously Smarts was controllable, Baines was not. But I think, you know, Baines means a lot to us, and he's had a tough year with regard to availability. And, you know, so to have him back this quickly is really, really good. I mean, if we would have been a couple more weeks, you know, it becomes even harder to do what we want to do. And also to work on these lineups, you know, like I said before, Baines missed a lot of late December, early January. He missed a 6 week or a four to six week chunk with the All-Star break included. And, you know, we haven't had much chance to pair that up the way we wanted to.
Coach, what is it about Philly? And I know you play teams throughout the league, but there's just something about them that brings out the devil in your players. If you know what I'm saying, that you get a little extra. It seems like it's a pretty good rivalry that has developed there with these young kids that they have and the team that you have.
They're awfully talented. I mean, they're awfully good, and they added awfully good talent when you talk about Butler and Harris at the trade deadline. That's a different team than we played last year in the playoffs. Obviously, those two guys make much more difficult not only to guard but also to score on. They're both good defenders, and so I think that obviously you're going to have to play exceptionally well to have a chance. But we played really well that night. Played really well in the first time that we played them when they were full go, and obviously you're going to have a chance to beat them.
Now you're getting ready for the Indiana Pacers, and obviously there are some implications there for playoffs, but what stands out to you about that team as you get ready for that game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm first and foremost born and raised an Indiana kid, so everything was about basketball for 12 months a year. And when you had a team that you absolutely loved the way they played, how hard they played, and how together they played, nothing rallied around it like that state. And I can tell just from not only watching but talking to my friends at home and everything else, it's a really fun team. They are tough. They play hard. They play together. They can go to a number of different guys. Their big guys are excellent and underrated. And then their wings are all capable of going off. And I think that's even without Oladipo, and I think it reminds me a little bit of our team from last year. You know, you lose Oladipo and other guys just step right up, and their toughness stands out and their physicality stands out.
Coach, I know you said you were excited for the tournament, the NCAA tournament, last time we talked to you. And I know you got to get your team ready to play over the weekend you play. But have you had a chance to watch Johnny Dawkins' team at UCF play at all?
I watched the last 2 minutes. maybe not even. And I watched it on tape because we played that night. So I watched it after we played. I think he's a good coach. I coached against him when he was at Stanford.
Yeah,
twice.
14, right? 2014.
So played him a couple of different times, and so he's a good coach and a really good guy. Those are like I saw the clip of his post game locker room speech, and right. You could hear the sobs in the background. That's the part of the tournament that is hard to put into words, is just how much it means to everybody in there. And that's why when everybody was talking about like, will Zion play or won't he play?
Right.
I understand from if you have to make that decision as a kid, and each kid has to make his own decision, and each family has to make their own decision, and I can't question that. At the same time, there's not many experiences like getting a chance to play and win in the NCAA tournament.
Coach, one more before we let you go. Have you ever heard of the mayor of South Bend, Indiana? His name is Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah, I have heard. I had a friend a few years ago who said, I just met the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, and he is incredibly, incredibly impressive, and he looks exactly like you.
Wow. And, oh, my God, I'm looking at pictures now.
I just showed Zoe a picture. It's remarkable.
Yeah, and so I've actually followed him pretty close, and I'll be real candid. I love a lot of his platforms. I am I'm a big fan of his. So I haven't endorsed anyone yet because I don't really get into the political stuff too much.
That's smart.
But he's a hard one for me to root against. I believe in a lot of what he likes.
It's tough to root against a handsome, obviously intelligent,
strong guy.
Yeah. Look, I mean, what's to not like about that guy?
These guys pull this guy's picture up. To your early days here, when you first came as a rookie head coach, I was pulling up the McLovin pictures from Superbad. Have you ever had those?
Oh,
and I said, I get compared to a lot of wackos.
I did have glasses there for a while.
Yeah.
So
I think that
Mayor Pete, I don't know if you guys have paid attention to him. He's incredibly impressive.
He's now in the ring for a presidential run. Yeah, he's thrown his hat in there.
Oh, nice.
He's getting ready to go. He's putting his name in. So
he's also rising pretty quickly.
Yeah, and so he's a fast riser. He's getting some national attention now. And I just think that if he were to ever be president, you could walk right into the White House and nobody would question you. You might have to put on like 10 or 15 pounds, but you could walk right in.
Maybe I could get the Saturday Night Live gig.
Yeah. Or you could be like Kevin Kline and Dave. You could serve as like a long-term stand-in for the president.
Yes. Good movie. Yes.
Good.
Yeah, that's right. Double. That's right.
All right. It's good. All right, Coach. All right, good talking to you.
Thanks, bud.
See you guys.
Take care. Brad Stevens joining us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
That really looks like him.
Really is. Remarkable how similar they look. I just met the mayor of South Bend. He's hugely impressive, and he looks just like you. And it's pronounced Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg is his name. Mayor Pete. Wow. We'll get to the headlines. Hardy has all the latest for you as we come to you from Warrior today. Were there any Bruins missing from the skate today?
Other than
the guys who are injured, obviously?
No, there's a couple of guys out there in the maroon jerseys, but other than that, it looked like it was fully attended morning skate.
All right, we'll get back at it with your calls here from Warrior coming up right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Today, Jordy Nelson decided to retire. He's all done. He's not going to sign with anyone. Calling it a career today.
Nice career.
Yeah, definitely. So he's all done. He's retiring. In addition to that, there is more news on yet another name that the Patriots were after from a receiver standpoint this offseason.
I'm so glad they didn't get this person.
Antonio Brown, believe it or not. Antonio Brown, they were in on Antonio Brown. Are you surprised to learn that?
No. No, because he's game breaker. If you're going to go game breaker, that's the guy you get. I mean, think about all of the games you played against that guy. And the one that's most memorable for me is the Malcolm game. First time Malcolm faced off here in Gillette. And he, like, banged him for 11 catches. But he really wasn't open. Just covered. The guy catches everything. Watch the way he played at the end of that Saints game down in the game that Juju fumbled in at the Pittsburgh Steelers need. Brown hung him in that game, man. Fourth down catches, touchdown catches. His ability to get vertical. He's good. He's insane, though. He's nuts.
So, of course, Antonio Brown has a podcast.
Oh, why wouldn't he?
The Boomin Experience. Antonio Brown, DJ Legato.
What's his other thing? Big chest guy? It's called Big Chest?
Here, this is from the podcast. Drew Rosenhaus. All part of this. Have a listen.
Being taped.
Philly got a first-round pick.
I think they have to give up at least 2 first-round picks to get into the first spot. Other teams are trying to get there, AP. You know, man?
That's amazing.
It's competitive. Yeah, well, listen, I mean, if it's not the Raiders, then we'll make it work with the Eagles or the Patriots or the Titans.
Oh, the Patriots. The Patriots ready too, huh?
The Patriots are in the mix. I put Belichick in touch with Kevin Colbert today.
I'm saying, so how the decision is going to come down? Is it going to come down, like, to what club willing to give up the most?
From the Steelers' standpoint, that's what they want.
Okay.
They want the most compensation. I really want you to have a good quarterback, and I want you to be in a...
Yeah, a good situation.
A winning environment, man. You know, yeah. New England to me, Philadelphia, these are two of the last Super Bowl champs. Yep. You know?
100%.
And, I wouldn't rule Oakland out, but I don't want to get your hopes up.
Nah, I'm like, you know, I can't lean no way. I'm just taking a positive approach and just, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you can't have no expectations. I'm just letting God's plans fall in place.
Oh, really?
So if you can't figure it out, this is before the trade goes down. They're taping
God
the podcast.
Did God shoot him out of Pittsburgh?
They're taping the podcast prior to him getting moved, and at that point, his agent on a speakerphone is giving him the lay of the land. Philadelphia was in, New England was in,
okay,
and the Raiders, he said, I don't want to get your hopes up, but maybe it could be the Raiders. It ended up being the Raiders, and he said New England was in the mix, and that he put Belichick in touch with the Steelers, like Belichick needed to know to call the Steelers.
I got three.
Bill's calling the agent to say, what is this bozo going to require money-wise?
No. I got three things.
That's what that phone call
is. He was tampering?
Yes.
Is that what he was doing?
I got three.
This is March 5th, by the way.
It's not tampering if the club tells the agent he can talk to other teams.
So it's legal tampering, right?
When you know you're going to trade a guy, happens pretty much all the time.
So
it's not tampering.
So it sounds to me like you don't watch The Office. You watch The Office. You know, like when Michael says,
I've seen most of the episodes of The Office.
When Michael's like trying to explain something to me. And
15
like,
years ago.
Michael goes, try to explain something to me as if I'm an 8-year-old. And then somebody explains it to him. And he goes, try to explain something to me like I'm a 4-year-old. Because he didn't get the first one. Antonio Brown really is.
He doesn't get it.
Yeah. Oh.
What didn't he get?
What did they got to give to get me?
Okay.
Wow, you want me to put me in a good situation? Ken.
Well, what
you
was
know
that
what? With no, it's, a, I got, it's all God's plan. No, you shot your way out of Pittsburgh. You were making $14 million.
Yeah,
God didn't come in and
he wants to
out.
Chalk it up to God's plan. Yeah. But what happened is
Drake
that
song.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah, just God's like the Drake plan. Song. It's God's plan. God's plan. God's plan.
Yeah.
God's
I like
plan.
The video where he like walks around, people just hanging on the curb.
I don't get what Antonio Brown did wrong in this. What he said wrong there. What's the price?
He's putting his agent
out. Who am I going to go to? And that's a very important question. Is it just going to be the team that offers the most? Mm. That's telling you he knows that the Steelers would not want to trade him to New England. Steelers don't want to trade him to New England.
That's his response when he heard the Patriots.
Which is why I'm surprised the
Patriots
were
in now.
Why did the Patriots think the Steelers would want to trade him to New England?
Nothing's off the table. If you're everybody can pick up the phone, call everybody. There's no.
He gets more into it in the later clips.
That's why I was surprised in hearing this.
I'm sure that Bill is very excited that Drew Rosenhaus is out there talking and it's being filmed. I put Belichick in touch with Kevin Colbert. Whether or not that happened or not, Bill don't like that stuff.
We'll play the later clips next, so don't go anywhere.
Oh, good tease.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This hour, Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, now made losing weight even easier for clients with gourmet prepared meals delivered right to your door. Fresh, high-quality prepared meals with free delivery.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. More from the podcast with Antonio Brown. This was taped while he was figuring out where he would land and more on the angle of where he could go, including Patriots and Eagles in the mix. Let's play it, Tom.
And I think the Steelers are taking it very seriously and trying to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're willing to consider even New England. You know, think about that. Think about playing with the greatest quarterback in NFL history. And he's a cool guy.
I'm saying they got them first rounds, too. So am I going top two rounds? I'm going at least the first two rounds.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Of course, man.
That would be an honor.
Yes, they won't tell me exactly what they're going to offer, but I have a feeling it's going to be very lucrative for us.
That's going to be amazing.
And I don't think we'll have any problem getting a deal done with these guys.
Yeah, we need that. We need that respect, that guarantee, that, like, you know, like, Robert Kraft's a cool guy, too.
Kraft is one of the wealthiest guys in the NFL, AB. So,
yeah, I'll pull up. That'd be great. That'd just be like that championship talk.
Yeah, we're in a great spot right now, man. I like the teams that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
I like the dialogue that we have with everybody. And, you know, I'm confident in 1 week's time we're going to have a very good team and a good quarterback and a good contract.
If you give a 7-day advance hypothesis, what would you of this trade? Where you think I'll land?
Really down. You know, the teams that want you right now are New England, Philadelphia, Tennessee, Washington, and Buffalo, with Oakland still in the picture.
And Oakland ended up getting him. Robert Kraft's a wealthy man. He's a cool guy, too.
In the first couple rounds, man.
This guy.
Did he factor into the 7-day hypothesis or not?
Did you? How about Rosenhaus's comment, though? Robert Kraft is a very wealthy man, not a good guy or built a great brand or it's a good team. He's a very wealthy man. This guy's all about the frickin' money, man.
Oh, and you're not?
No. Oh,
are you the guy?
No. I'll get on my couch for anything less than $3,500. But,
he's come down a little bit.
Yeah.
No, he's gone up. It used to be 25.
Now it's 35.
Off season. You know what I'm saying? Joking.
No,
I'm not. I'm glad we didn't get this guy. I'm glad. Because this dude is...
He's a team wrecker.
He's a nut.
He's bad news.
Tom Brady's a goat. Hey, but you know what? If I get the goat...
He thinks you show up in New England, you're just going to win a championship.
No, because we could get that championship talk. Yeah, because you were never a contender in Pittsburgh, ever. They pick you to win the AFC every freaking year with New England.
He cares about how much money he's going to get.
That's it.
And he cares about what he was traded for.
The picks. Yeah. You want to know what the picks
were? What's my value
be?
Compensation?
Absurd.
Oh, if I get traded for a first pick, that'll be an honor.
You know
that's
what?
An honor. That's respect.
Yeah.
What?
You didn't. The Giants won that trade. The Giants got 2 ones for Odell Beckham. They got a one and they got a former number one. It's 2 ones to me. And a third. Giants got more for OBJ than Pittsburgh got for you. Period.
Are you honored by that?
Are you honored for that third rounder? You get honored?
Saw Drew Rosenhaus on Instagram yesterday, he kept putting up posts of like paperwork that showed it being $19.8 million going to Antonio Brown this year. I'll show it to you, Zoe. We'll get Zoe's instant reaction because I know you haven't seen it. Here, look at this. Screen grabs of the average per year. Like, look at this. He took a picture of his computer screen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And so
3%.
He wrote at the time, we did something unprecedented that will never be emulated again. That was from, so I think this was a repost. That was from Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown posted that. We did something together. So he reposted it. His post, actually, this is another repost. It was all from Antonio Brown.
What do you mean, taping an agent without even knowing he's being taped? That will never be done again?
Antonio Brown and Drew Rosenhaus together outside the private jet with $19.8 million over it.
Put it on bags and ones. Give me it all once. Yeah.
Can I get that cash?
Yeah.
I don't know. The agent didn't know what kind of tape.
The final clip is the worst one for the agent, I think.
All right. You want to hear it? Let's hear it.
I think the better the team, quite honestly, AB, the harder it might be to get more out of them.
Yeah, I think Titans have been calling around, too, so they probably going to be willing to make a splash, huh?
The Titans would probably offer more than Philadelphia and New England because they've got a lot of, you know, they're such good teams, they probably wouldn't offer as much as a team that's trying to get better. You know, man? This is more than just a contract issue. you know, this is making sure you go someplace where you're going to be able to continue with the type of success that you're accustomed to.
Yeah, for sure. So it's best situation.
A quarterback and a good football team, because no matter how much money you make.
Yeah, it got to be worth it mentally. Yeah, you got to win. That's the important. Yeah, you know? Ultimately.
Really?
That's why I would push the Eagles and the Redskins, you know, and the Redskins away. I would push the Eagles
and the Patriots.
And the Patriots first. And then among the top two teams.
Yeah, then the Titans.
But, you know, I wouldn't be discouraged by the Titans. They were just in the playoffs the year before, and they have a good young quarterback in Mariota. All he needs is just, he was the second pick of the draft. All he needs is a great receiver.
He's trying to fool him. I don't think that makes Drew Rosenhaus sound bad.
No, that's brute honesty telling his client, hey.
Go to a good team with a good quarterback, not the Redskins.
It's right. Do you think the Redskins would say right now we're a good team with a good quarterback?
No.
Do you think they're fooling themselves there?
No. No, their quarterback drinks milk a gallon a day.
Come on. I don't think anything there makes the agent look bad.
Drinks a gallon of milk a day.
I think it makes them look bad with the Patriots.
Why?
If I'm Bill now, I don't want a
specific clip, but I'm not.
Don't be airing.
Why do I want to deal with a guy that's going to talk about it?
Right.
That's why if he was being taped by Antonio Brown, I'd be pissed if I was Rosenhaus.
Because
he probably is.
Do you get this? I don't get this.
What? No.
I think to the Patriots.
Rosenhaus gave Antonio Brown perfect advice there. Like,
if I'm Belichick, I'm pissed that I hear that comes out.
He says the Patriots are a good team with a good quarterback.
I talked to Belichick. I put Belichick in touch with the Steelers because he's interested in you. I don't want that out there. The way the Patriots are?
I agree with that.
The way Belichick is?
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't think it'll make him look bad, though.
I'm
pissed if I'm Belichick the way I am.
Over that?
Yes.
Over the fact that we had a conversation?
Yeah. He doesn't want anybody coming out, anything coming out.
You don't. When's this thing timed?
There can be
tampering?
There can be anonymous sources that say stuff that Belichick can shoot down. That you heard that from Rosenhaus. Rosenhaus talked to Belichick about Antonio Brown because they were interested. You heard that from the horse's mouth, audio-wise. It didn't come out in a story from Schefter saying an unnamed source is telling me this, or my source is telling me this. I think that's a true story.
You're mad that people know that you were in on Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Why?
Do you want to be in on Antonio Brown?
Well, I don't, but that's me. That's my personal opinion, but I don't think it makes him look bad that he's trying to make. He's obviously. I think it goes in line with everything else that he's done this year in this offseason.
It's bad for Rosenhaus. It's bad for
Rosenhaus. It doesn't make him look bad. But,
you don't air
but like Jim said, Belichick doesn't want anything out there about anything. So he would rather not any information get leaked, whether you think it's important or not, whether you think it's obvious or not. He doesn't want Rosenhaus saying that and then releasing the video and the audio. My conversation with you is between me and you and your client, not for the world to know about. And
so
his
issue shouldn't be with Rosenhaus then. It should be with Antonio Brown. He should be pissed at Antonio Brown.
He should be.
Antonio Brown's the one who decided to make a podcast.
Yeah, I'm starting to think, too. You know, you hear this, and you hear Rosenhaus yesterday doing the circuit again about the Gronkowski stuff. I'm starting to think that Rob pulled the wool over Rosenhaus's eyes a little bit, made him look bad. To where now Rosenhaus needs to get it out there. Like, hey, I'm surprised he's not playing. I always thought he was playing. Like, if you think there was some sort of delay and then he held the Patriots hostage, and I want Belichick to deal with me. I got other players that I get deals done with Bill. I don't want to think I was part of this. It's almost like Rosenhaus yesterday was distancing himself from Gronk. As much as he loves Gronk, I'm just telling you, it wouldn't surprise me if he played. And I'm shocked. I thought he was going to play football. This didn't come from us. I didn't push this. He's like, he had to put that out there yesterday, man, after Rob's announcement. Why not just go into hiding? Why do you have to say anything? Why do you got to be available? You know? Why do you got to leave it open?
I just don't think that anyone looks bad there.
Rosenhaus looks bad for allowing his client. He should do something with AB or send him some sort of a notice from a legal standpoint, unless he knew about this and he agreed to it and he loves the Jerry Maguire angle of this. Hey.
Yeah, if Rosenhaus knew, Rosenhaus is bad for doing this. If not, it's Antonio. I agree with you.
Something tells me there's some cheese in Rosenhaus that knew he was doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, AB, here's the teams it's in on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. I do want to get back into some of the thoughts on the latest legal proceedings with Robert Kraft. Also, a story out of Arizona about Cliff Kingsbury as he takes over as the head coach of the Cardinals, a new rule that he's putting into place. Why don't we get to that in 90 seconds?
Sure.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.